Hi, and welcome to the Commit Your Dream podcast, where we dive into the lives of developers at CleverTech who have taken the reins on coding their own life. Learn and get inspired about how you can create a customized solution to live the life of your dreams.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on episode 4 of Commit Your Dreams. This episode, we have a special guest who has his own podcast, and his name is Matthias. Welcome to our podcast.
Hey, Natalie. Hey, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to talk about your journey on becoming a senior developer. And really, I'm really excited to listen to the secret of all your energy. I think that you writing blog articles, having a podcast, being a software developer, do you ever feel like you missed some things in your life because of that?
I don't think so. I mean, I have a life. I have two kids. When I was in the university, I spent less time in the computer than any other time. I like to travel. I do workout. I touch guitar. I read. I don't know. Even I spend a lot of time on the computer, I'm still a human being that enjoy other things. So yeah,
I love that. What drives you to share what you've learned with the world?
I always had a blog or tried to have a blog and build that blog many times. And I always like to write and feeling of helping others by sharing what I learned, because I had the pain. It always makes me happy. It's always fulfilling. And on 2019, I think, I joined it to edhead.io, and I started recording lessons. That was really hard to start. I need to be honest on that. It took me a year to just go from the zero to demo. But on 2020, that changed, and I started writing consistently, recording consistently, and I started my podcast. I have 58 episodes in one podcast and 37 in the other one.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's amazing. Can you talk a little bit more about why you decided to build your personal brand?
I think the blogging side of my life, writing and going out there and doing speaking gigs and all of that was part of this personal brand thing. But before, maybe last year, that didn't have a name. I think for me, personal brand and influencer was something so YouTuber that I don't even ask myself if I want that. But before joining CleverTech, I was 2 months out of job. Mm-hmm. And doing interviews, it was really kind of easy or simple because I had a lot of experience. It was hard to convince people that I know what I know, because mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to show, because all of my work belongs to someone else.
True.
One way to show them that I really know is by creating things. I always wanted to do the podcast, and all of this comes went together and not only helped me to teach someone because I enjoy it, but also helped me with this branding thing, this personal brand, to show my kind of authority on the field. That is the name. I'm not an expert in every field, but you're building that process of making allowing people to trust you because mm-hmm. you know what you're saying. And the personal brand side of the process of creating content is big. I never did it because of the personal brand, but mm-hmm. I enjoy building the personal brand. I really have fun doing it. But if that becomes a work, I will leave it out because it will not be fun anymore, you know? So
yeah, I see. So basically, like you said, you never set out to create that personal brand because you love doing all these things so much. It became your personal brand in the end, benefited you. Because companies were able to look at it and say, oh, he knows what he's talking about. And then not just companies, but your audience as well.
And then you can get something from the audience, like I always wanted to have side projects and side incomes, but I'm really bad at creating projects from scratch. And the startup thing that is not on myself. So the personal brand and authority in the audience helped me to create some little incomes here and there that I also enjoy. So it's not only money, it's because it's fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah. You are so one of the most positive people I've ever met. And just like overall, from listening to these past couple minutes with you, you are very good at turning mountains into molehills. So basically, like something really big, you're like, you know what? If we just do it and it's really fun and I like it, then I'm going to do it. And you know, something that people might think is really big, like starting a podcast or having a personal brand or creating courses, even, you were able to just get started and do them.
I think that the pandemic helped me a little bit with that. I think I always had this mind of chunking things, like split the problems in little things, divide and conquer. But the pandemic helped me a little bit with this about in terms of don't be too hard on yourself. Doesn't matter if the course don't go out and I will be the one that will feel bad. I just wanted to do it and I will do it whenever it's possible. My audience knows that I'm a person. I'm not a machine. So that also makes you relatable. So don't be hard on yourself and do things that you enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Work smarter, not harder. So I feel like you are very self-aware with all of your answers because you say like, I'm not good at creating ideas from scratch, but I've learned this along the way. How did you figure out your weaknesses and your strengths?
Becoming a father 6 years ago, it makes you somehow start searching your weaknesses to not stress yourself, to not create limits, because parenting can be limiting if you know what are your weaknesses and how to manage the stress. And now at this point, my weaknesses happen because I failed too many, many times. I maybe focus too much on some things and other not, and miss some details here, or sometimes failures help you learn. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole idea. I mean, if you want to learn, go and fail. It's the only way. It's the only way to learn, to really learn. And I think I failed a lot, and good for me, because I think I do less mistakes now, but I'm pretty sure that I will do mistakes in the future. So it's kind of just go with that and try to take the best of every time or everything you do.
Yeah. Failing a lot. I have mixed emotions about that because I understand what that means, but in practice, I think it can sometimes be hard because the fear of failure can get in the way of failing.
That feeling is also really important. It's part of our human nature. I'm reading two books right now, and one of that is From Animals to Humans, or Animal to Gods, that's the name. And it's talking about that topics of fear and evolution of that. And the other one is The Subtle Art of Giving a F.
Yeah, I read that one. And I really like Mark Manson in total. He has a newsletter if you're interested. Well, let's kind of pivot and talk a little bit about your tech career. What was it like starting at 13 with a computer and with, you know, learning your passion was development?
It was pretty exciting because I was able to start learning how to build things from the thin air. And actually was really at the time really hard because there is not too much material. There's no too much tools, and also everything was in English. I'm a native Spanish speaker, and I didn't talk in English at the time. Also, I was only able to connect to the internet from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. That's the only range of time that with the phone and on the modem and all of that. It was really amazing to write little things in the text editor. Notepad for who is wonder, and then be able to see it in another shape in a web page. That's what, boom, mind blowing.
Yeah. And I think when you first started, you know, you make this point of you coded in Notepad or WordPad. And now as people start trying to get into web development, there's all these new tools out. There's like lots of resources, and it's not just coding HTML and Notepad, it's more. So I don't know if you were able to like ride that wave of all those tools, but my real question is, how did you know which way to take your career? Because with all the tools now, it's impossible to be an expert in everything.
I think that the first thing that beginners need to kind of ingrain in their brains is that they will never be an expert in everything. The second thing is that you're right. There is a lot of resource right now. There is so much resource that is overwhelming, that you can choose between courses. You can choose between guides or posts or articles or what to read, what to learn. If you are learning because you want to learn, or you're young enough to don't have too many responsibilities, then you should go with the fun path. But if you need money, you know, so what is the current trend that is opening a lot of roles, so of job openings? And then it depends on the situation. I can maybe branch off following another fun path again, because I can now, but I think that you need to be intentional in your career building. Like, I want this, mm-hmm. and you should find ways to accomplish that. So, for example, I wanted to be a teacher on talking with people to become an instructor in some services. So, yeah, I follow it, that I chase it. That didn't happen for a casualty, right? So at some point, you will have luck.
Yeah, yeah, good point. When did you recognize yourself as senior?
It's hard to identify with some of these categories: junior, mid-senior, senior, fully senior, or I don't know, staff and all of that, because there is no rule of thumb of what that means. And also, I think that the seniority related with years or related with knowledge is really hard to measure, because I think that the most important metric here is how much time were you exposed to something. When I felt as a senior, I think that what happened maybe last year, maybe 2 years ago, something like that, I felt that I knew a lot to take decisions about maybe architecture or how to build things from scratch, because I knew a lot of little things in a big surface, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm a React developer mainly. I know a lot about React, but that means that I know a lot about JavaScript, and that means I maybe know a lot about the tooling around JavaScript and all of that. So I was able to build something from scratch, take decisions, and that decisions were heard by the team with other seniors, person in team. It's what makes you a senior. Be the one that maybe can give advice, but not because you have certain position. It's because you have the experience and you can share that experience. And that experience is not something that you impose. It's something that you just share because you know that will be useful, you know? So I think that the seniority doesn't always relate with technical, to be technical savvy, mm-hmm. but relate more like how you take that knowledge and transform that in communication. So I think that soft skills here in the seniority side are the important things.
You summarized it really well, that it's not about the years of experience, which a lot of applications say, and it's not about, like, the scale is always different, but yes, the exposure.
Are you a senior because you had 10 years? But if you will start writing, I don't know, React or Svelte now, are you a senior or you are a beginner in that mm-hmm. in that realm? So that's a big question. So years are not the metric here.
I guess we're coming up on time here. So I have two more questions for you. What is the secret to all your energy? Where do you get it?
I think that I will go back to use the same word every time, but because I enjoy it and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And that is the first thing. Because I'm not so hard on myself. So if someday I feel so tired, I basically don't do anything of my side things because doesn't matter. And time management, I try to be hard on time management. Like I'm a really disorganized person. I'm really hard. I have hard time focusing on things. So I need to use tools and frameworks to help me focus. The other one is the support of my family to be able to balance my life.
Maybe we could all try those things. You make it sound so simple.
It's not easy, but you need to find the ways to squeeze your time and be the most productive one that you can with your own time. So if mm-hmm. I have 30 minutes, I will try to pick the task that I can actually do in 30 minutes and use the 30 minutes as much as I can and try to not be procrastinating all the time. The scroll doom situation on Twitter tends to track me a lot, but I try to just keep the phone outside my office to avoid that and then pick the phone when I actually have time. So.
And then my last question for you to close us out is, out of our three values at CleverTech, freedom, mastery, and purpose, which one do you identify the most with and why?
I like purpose, because purpose will give you freedom and purpose will give you mastery. And that's kind of the way to think for me.
Yeah. And I think you pursue purpose all your life because purpose is something that's also bigger than yourself.
So if you're intentional at what you're doing, you will find freedom at some point. and you will master many things because that is the path you follow to, because you were intentional. And that means that you have some purpose to follow. So.
That's great, Matias. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and spending some time with us. We really appreciate you.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks. And have a good day.
Same to you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We have an incredibly ambitious goal to reach 5,000 subscribers by the end of the summer. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, it would mean the world to us if you hit the subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the follow button. And if you genuinely love this podcast or feel like your friends and family could benefit, please share it with them. You can find us on Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn by simply searching CleverTech. And don't forget to check out our careers page if you're ready to commit your dream.